This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to our ongoing coverage of Malaysia Terbaru. And we're getting a lot of commentators and politicians of all stripes this afternoon in reaction to the swearing-in of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as the 8th Prime Minister of Malaysia. And joining us now on the line is Dr. Jayakumar Devaraj, President of Parti Socialist Malaysia, for his thoughts on what's going on. Welcome, Dr. Jayakumar. So let's just start off with, what are your thoughts on the past week's developments leading up to this morning's swearing-in of our 8th Prime Minister?
Well, I think it's quite sad for many of us. It's like the unraveling of dreams, you know. We're hoping for a different Malaysia, which was less racial and, you know, more inclusive. But it's sad to see that as kind of, you know, hit a roadblock right now. And, you know, you must also take into account, I mean, it's also so we're more racially divided now than we had the time of PRU 14, you know. At that time, we had at least about 25% to 30% of Malays supporting PH. I think that number now has gone down to only about 15%. You know, so somehow what the PH has done or has not done has led to a lot of Malays concluding that the so-called Malay agenda would be not taken up or would be undermined by the PH. You know, so I think while now a lot of non-Malays are unhappy that the government that we voted in has been kind of, you know, coup d'etat against them. I think similarly, I think a lot of Malays would be relieved that this new PH government that was undermining, in their perception, Malay interests has been removed. You know, so I think you're quite racially divided on that.
And Doctor, I mean, PSM did not fare well in GE14. So where do you see the party standing now in the current political situation?
I think in the short term, it will be difficult for PSM to get great electoral victories. I mean, unless we can win people over to the kind of thinking that we have regarding the country. You see, we from the beginning of the new government, we've been telling Pakatan Harapan that they should focus on the B40 of all races. They should go out and do things. And despite the fact they've given several ideas, they haven't done that, you know. And so the perception, I think, among the B40, and a three-quarter of them are Malays, is that the Pakatan doesn't really care, you know. They're more concerned about the corporate groups, more concerned about the rich, you know. And I think it's a lost opportunity. So I think until we can get a consensus, you know, among the majority of our kind of politics, then we're not going to do well. So it's not a short-term thing. It's going to be a long-term call for us to kind of get our understanding across to people.
So let's talk about your relationship with Pakatan Harapan then. Has anything changed now that it's back in opposition?
They're probably more friendly to us now, I think. Then they were. The thing is, I mean, maybe that's not fair. I mean, we met a number of them during the time they were in government. You know, they were more open to us that time, but still there was a barrier. I mean, you know, because they were in government and we were practically nothing. I think now they are back in opposition. You know, they'll be more open to having more people to support them. But I don't think it's over yet. You know, I don't think it's over yet. Because the AGONG can select the Prime Minister, but if on the first day of Parliament there's a vote of no confidence and he loses, then there's still a chance that someone else will be asked to put together a government, you know, maybe Mahathir, you know. And if Mahathir can put together a government and there's no vote of no confidence against him, that's the government. So I think the curtains haven't come down yet on PH, you know. It's still going to see what happens in Parliament. If there are really enough people supporting the PH under Mahathir now, there is a chance that they can push through a vote of no confidence on the first day. And then the government that has come in under Muhyiddin will fall.
Doctor, but I just want to ask, right, what are your expectations of Muhyiddin? And if he, like you say, he has been sworn in as the Prime Minister.
I think he'll try and form a government. You know, he'll try and get people from different people and form the government. But what a lot of people are worried about is that whether the kleptocrats will be let off the hook, because now they're part of the government. And so whether over time, you know, charges will be watered down or delayed and just, you know, forgotten or withdrawn, you see? That is the fear. I mean, the hope was with the Pakatan Harapan government, there'd be some, you know, cleansing of the whole political process, that money politics will be at least reduced, you know, corruption will be reduced. So now with this government coming in, Muhyiddin, with UMNO, and UMNO is the biggest group now, you know, I don't know how much he can, you know, continue reform, you see, whether he wants to continue reform.
So what are, in your view, currently, what are the critical issues for certain communities that you're concerned about? For example, the urban poor, the Orang Asli communities, or the farmers. Are there any particular issues like healthcare or minimum wage that you are paying attention to?
They're all interrelated, you know. But, you know, what we actually pushed Pakatan Harapan was they should look at urban as well as rural poverty. And we told them it won't cost that much. I mean, like, for example, if you look at major urban areas, a lot of our poor people live in the low-cost flats which have come into slums because the system of maintenance is thrown back to the local, you know, to the committees themselves. So we were saying that they should be taken over by the local councils. Government should money in the local councils. But we were saying go down to the areas, have meetings in the flats, find out what their problems are, and together with them, solve the problems that will win them over to you. And that won't cost billions, you know. It can be done quite easily if they put some money into it. And then, I mean, in all the main urban areas, you know, from Johor, Seremban, Melaka, KL, PJ, Klang, you can reach out to a lot of the urban poor, and many of them be Malays, a lot of other non-Malays there as well. You could have done so much, you could have shown that you're concerned about the problem of the Malay poor, you know, and also the problem of the poor generally. But that was not done, is it? So things like that, which are very low-lying fruit, were not taken into account. And always the thing was, oh, we don't have enough money, we can't, you know, we are overextended, there's too many debts, you know, and all that. But these important things, if had it been done, you see, right now, the Pakatan Harapan is hoping that there won't be elections. Because if there's elections, they'll be even further wiped out. At least now there are 92 of them, and they're still in parliament. If there was elections now, I think it'll go down to about 60. You know, Amana will be quite badly affected. So would all the PKR seats where there are more than 40% Malays will be badly affected. They lose a lot of seats. Why they lose seats? They've had 2 years to convince the B40 that you're doing something for them, you know, with a massive government, with a federal budget. So it's a waste opportunity, really. Wasted.
And thank you so much for joining us on the line, Dr. Jayakumar.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Jayakumar Devaraj, President of Party Socialist Malaysia, with a bit of a retrospective look at Pakatan Harapan and its 2 years and the things that maybe they could have done to garner more support amongst the different communities. And we're going to a few messages after this and to take you there. Every You, Every Me by Placebo. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.